it's a remarkable thing to be here. Not only just to be here in person, because I don't get a chance to do that all that often, but to be in a place that has essentially done all the things that we had always hoped, and really all the things that the church stands for. What has happened in this building is that we have taken the best of what was of the old church and combined it with new. We've taken the beauty of what our ancestors passed on to us, and we've added in the things that we didn't have before, right? Accessible washrooms, a gathering place so we can build relationships and get to know each other, be on all one floor together, not have to worry about the vestry downstairs and if things would fall out of the ceiling onto us. No, that never happened. But we took this. What I think this building reflects is the best of who we are, and the potential of what we have together as the church. And it doesn't matter really where we come from; that potential is there. And the challenge then always is not to make it about the building, right? Because we all know that the church is more than our buildings, right? You know the old thing like this. Here's the church. Here's the steeple. Open the doors and see all the people. Now, there's a new one that's come out, and I can't remember how it goes. But I actually think it's got something to do. It's like this, I think, right? I think here's the church, here's the steeple. Open the doors, and all the people go out to mission. Something like that. I can't remember. It rhymes. You can look it up on the internet. My memory's really bad, too. Not only do I need glasses, I need notes. So it's thank you for inviting me to be here this day. This is a familiar pulpit and an unfamiliar space, but also, I think, surrounded by people who are full of love and faithfulness, who work together well, and who love the community within which they find themselves. And so we ask God's blessing for that. And we didn't really get an opportunity. Our good friend Gus, who stood up here earlier, just a few minutes ago actually, is the new area minister for the Maritimes. So Gus is the guy that you call whenever something goes wrong. You don't call me, you call Gus. And then Gus knows we'd set up a routine about when it's appropriate to call me. But Gus, we're really happy, and we ask every blessing on you and your new ministry. Well, new old ministry, you've done this before, in shepherding the congregations of the Maritimes. There's some good things coming up, so we're excited to have you here and hope that folks will keep him in your prayers as he moves forward as well. Our text today is going to be taken from Ephesians 1, chapter 1, verses 11 to 23. But before we get there, let's pray together. God of love and light, we thank you for this opportunity. We thank you for the opportunity to be in this great place, in the South Shore, in Milton, in this community, on this street, in this building, which is both old and new, as our lives are made up of the old and the new. We ask a blessing on all that are in this building and all those who couldn't be here. We give you thanks for the faithfulness of those who have gone before us, who had dreams, who listened to the visions, who were tapped into your love and saw a need and filled it. We ask, O God, that you would help us not to be complacent, that we, after we finish this great project, would now turn to build the beloved community, to build the world in your image, to transform our lives, allow ourselves to be redeemed, to turn toward you with all that we are, so that others may know your love. Bless the words that come from my mouth, all the thoughts and the questions, our prayers, our praise, everything that comes from us. May it be beautiful to you. And may we touch the hem of your robe in these few moments. Amen. So Ephesians 1 reads like this. And I don't know, do you have text up there? Not really. I'm going to read off my phone because I like this version better. Ephesians 1, this is Paul writing to the church at Ephesus, says this: In Christ we have also obtained an inheritance, having been destined according to the purpose of him who accomplishes all things according to his counsel and will, so that we who were the first to set our hope on Christ might live for the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you had heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and had believed in him, were marked with the seal of the promised Holy Spirit. This is the pledge of our inheritance toward redemption as God's own people, to the praise of his glory. I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus, and your love toward all the saints. And for this reason, I do not cease to give thanks for you as I remember you in my prayers. I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation as you come to know him, so that with the eyes of your heart enlightened, you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance among the saints, and what the immeasurable greatness of his power for us who believe, according to the working of his great power. God put this power to work in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the age to come. And he has put all things under his feet and has made him the head over all things for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. These are the words of God for the people of God. So as many of you know, this is not the first time that I've been in this pulpit. I was here for I don't know how many Sundays, and many times other in between there too. But this is also not the first time that I've preached this text in this congregation. I'm sure you all remember every one of my sermons that I preached over the years. I know I do. But actually, I didn't. I don't remember all those things. In 2009, I preached this text here. I keep records. I'm a bit of a hoarder when it comes to my own words. My third year here in my very first pastorate as a brand new pastor right out of the box. Many of you were in this building. It didn't sit right here. It was a little bit different than it is right now. It was the same building, and yet it's different. It's the same congregation, and yet it's different. It's the same message, but it's different. I didn't reuse any of it, by the way, which is, I think, the beauty of Scripture. Texts that are intent on reading us as much as we are of reading them. This is the beauty of the church, of the community of Christ, that we are not the same today, and yet we have that DNA that shapes us and connects us to all others worldwide in the body of Christ. This is the beauty of God that we honor and that we serve and that we love. That there is a sameness there, a familiarity there, a reliableness there. A love there that adapts and grows with us and finds new ways of building relationships and communities and touching hearts and minds and lives as the cultures and societies and values and experiences of life change who we are as human beings. It's an interesting thing because when I preached this text back in 2009, it was the text that began Advent that year. And we were going through some hard times, looking at whether or not we should still have a Sunday school, wondering and remembering the glory days about when we had hundreds of kids and all kinds of things were going on, where we had lots of volunteers and everyone in the area went to church. We were concerned about the building. Imagine that. And what we should do and how we should do it. Things had changed for this community in 2009, and we were struggling to know where God was calling us. Afraid to sometimes to courageously face these changing times. Hanging on sometimes too much to the past. And afraid to look into that unknown future. In 2009, we were fearful and we were unsure. But we learned and we leaned into the strength of God, the faith that was within us. We tried some new things and we dreamed some new dreams. And as promised, God was faithful. And we moved toward the vision of beloved community. That's the center of God's dream for all creation. It's an interesting thing now to preach this text 7 years later. In 2016, at the rededication and the blessing of this new old building. I don't know how, you're going to come up with a new word, right? It's a new old building. Now, the trouble of the past few years, what we should do with the building has been taken care of. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Now, the concerns are different, right? The concerns of can we do it, or if we don't do it, and all of those other questions that we had are gone because we did it. Now we have the opportunity for a fresh start, an open window. And if I catch any of you staring too much out that way, I've got pencils here, I'll throw them. But there's an open window in front of us, an opportunity to reinvent ourselves as the church has done generation after generation after generation, as the Spirit of God urges us to do in the face of life that doesn't stand still age to age. It's what's happening to the community at Ephesus that we just read about. Things are changing for them. They are the early church. They're one of the first churches. And life for them is not easy. Some people have left. Some people have joined. They've been meeting for a few years. And now some conversations are happening about what comes next and what should they be doing. What do they hold on to? What do they let go? There's heavy conflict around them. They live and work in an environment where the Christianity is not welcome, where the Roman occupation is still at its height and oppression is hard. It's a hostile situation, and they feel isolated and maybe a little embattled on all sides and surrounded on all sides. They're trying to be faithful and have been faithful, but what comes next just isn't clear. Now, while the parallel for us may not be 100% on the mark, as the regional minister for Canada, I am feeling like the Christian Church Disciples of Christ in Canada is actually in a familiar place to the church in Ephesus. We have a whole bunch of faithful people across the country who have been courageous and dedicated followers of Christ all of these years, but now are facing true hardship. Plummeting budgets and financial insecurity and losses of buildings and needing pastoral leadership that builds relationships and teaches courageous leadership, but no money to hire them. Aging congregations. You name the issue, you know all these things. You see it everywhere. And it doesn't have to be in the Disciples of Christ. We know this happens in every church across Canada. Our communities are feeling embattled on all sides. It's not an easy thing to be the church right now. I don't think it's ever... There was a time when it was actually easy, right? 1952 was easy to be the church. It's not easy anymore. And I have to think that Milton Christian Church is feeling this pinch too a little bit. Now that you have this done, where do we go next? What do we do now? And so here we are at this crossroads between the old and the new. A time when the church is not flourishing. It's not anywhere is it flourishing. When it no longer sits at the center of society, when people are suspicious, and now, believe it or not, five generations don't know the old stories, have never heard them, have never stepped foot in a church, and are not going to start now. Christianity has been sent off to the far edges of the known world. It doesn't matter if you're in a big city or on the shores of a tranquil river. We're worried. We have questions. We're not sure. We're trying to be faithful. We're trying to continue on, but this reinventing stuff is hard. Growing up is hard. We've been and will continue to be faithful, but often we don't know the way forward. And we've known what worked in the past doesn't work anymore. And I think we're a little bit scared. And it's okay to be scared. It's totally okay. Paul, when he talks to the Ephesians, recognizes the trouble that they face. He recognizes it and he takes some time to remind them that they are not, nor have they ever been, alone. Not only are they joint heirs with Jesus, the adopted children of God, they are part of a larger network of Christ followers who are faithfully making up the hands and feet of God, the whole body of God, working together to bring about peace and justice and wholeness in the world. to end suffering and bring about abundant life. In language that is passionate and extravagant, he reminds them that they have everything they need and more. That they have gifts upon gifts upon gifts to live full lives and to minister in amazing ways to and with the people among whom they live. He lifts them up so that they can see that they are rich in goods and skills and faithfulness and courage, even though they're struggling in some ways. They are leaders. They are chosen. They are children of the Most High God, forgiven and redeemed and reconciled and called to be a shining light in a world of shadow and uncertainty. So Paul prays for them. He is pastor. And he prays for them. And he tells them for what he prays. That they be given a spirit of wisdom and revelation as they come to know Jesus. Which I think is a remarkable thing to pray for. And to encourage ourselves to pray for and to truly understand. His words are powerful because they remind us that we never truly understand the full nature of God. We truly do not understand the whole totality of who Jesus is, what the spirit of love that fills our lives really is. We never truly fully know everything about God, and we never really make it and can say that we did it and now we're done. And although we have all this stuff and all these riches and all these gifts and all these blessings and all these opportunities, what we need is wisdom and a spirit open to what God is constantly revealing in front of us and around us all the time. We got all kinds of knowledge. Some of it right in here. All of it's right in this little antique phone my niece calls it. 3 years old. Anyway, we have all kinds of knowledge, but wisdom is that knowingness that takes knowledge and matches it with experience, adds in some compassion and insight and self-awareness, mixes it all together so that we don't make the same mistakes, but can discern a new way forward, a way that is one with the way of Jesus Christ. Taking the old and putting in the new. So my prayer for Milton Christian Church and all of you who come from all of these other congregations and no congregation and everywhere in between, on this day and every day, my prayer for you now is that you have this great new facility. May you now have wisdom and openness to what God is revealing to and around you. It's easy to build a building. I put a big pause in here because I figured you'd throw something and I'd have to duck. It's easy to build a building.
And make a roof.
Yes, that's right. Exactly. It's easy to build a building. Shirley may not agree with me. But this is easy. Right? We can plan and prepare and adjust. And when all the paint is dried and we've pulled all the stickers off the windows and make sure there's no smudges, we can say we did it and it's done. Well, mostly done. But friends, we are not called to build buildings. We are called to build communities. And communities are hard work. And community building takes a lifetime. Building beloved community takes forever. I pray for you. He built this too? I know he did. Now we're going I pray for you wisdom. To know that while you have worked tirelessly and with no small amount of sacrifice and pain, that even if there was no building here, friends, your call is to be beloved community. Community that reflects the selfless nature of Jesus Christ. Community that is dedicated not to self-preservation, but to nurturing and encouraging new life around it. The beloved community of Milton existed before there was a building across the street. Before the 1830s, when the original structure was started to be dreamed about. The beloved community existed before this building was put here. The beloved community of Milton inspired those three structures. The mixing of the old and the new within this one. The gathering space so that relationships can be built. Accessible space so that all can come together without fear. Connected to the beautiful creation around us. Intimate space to commune with God and with one another. To be reminded always that God welcomes all and blesses all and seeks to be in relationship with all. This is what this building reflects. The values of beloved community. But I pray for Milton Christian Church a spirit of wisdom and revelation. To know in your heart of hearts that a building does not make you a church. You know this, right? Does anybody not know that? That now that you have this great place of worship, that you will build among yourselves wisdom to build beloved community. Community that will not tolerate hunger and homelessness, poverty and injustice. I pray that you will build beloved community that does the hard work of reconciliation, redemption, and being in right relationship with one another. And that the community and the church around you feels that too. I pray that you will build beloved community here that works to transform opponents into friends. I pray that you'll build beloved community that puts love and trust and compassion over fear and hatred and animosity. I pray that you build beloved community here on the South Shore and across the Maritimes and across the nation, taking a leading role in building out from where you have started. The concept of beloved community is not a new one. Josiah Royce first coined the term in 1855. Dr. Martin Luther King talked of beloved community all the time and saw it as the ultimate goal of humanity. G.K. Chesterton declared that the reason the concept of beloved community is not often found in our world, and especially among our churches, is not that it has been tried and found wanting, but it has been found difficult and not tried. It is not easy work, friends. The three biggest threats to beloved community are oppression, militarism, and materialism. It's too easy to fall in love with our power, with our privilege, with our rights, with our preconceived notions, our buildings, our stuff, all the things that we have gotten used to, all the things that we have worked hard for that we can touch, and forget that we are not called to amass treasure, but we are called to be rich in love and compassion and justice and kindness and relationship. This is what Jesus taught us. My friends, you have worked hard, and this process has cost you much. Some relationships, lots of time, some sleepless nights or early mornings, a little bit of money. And I celebrate with you what you have accomplished. I honestly do. And I'm here to tell you now the real work begins. Take today and celebrate. Tomorrow, build. The work to which you were called as children of God. May you have a spirit of wisdom to care deeply for one another, for your leaders, your pastor, your children, your elders, for the community and the country and the world in which you reside. Now that you have a home, may you work to build a home for others. Now that you have security, may you work for the security of others. Now that you have accomplished some of your dream, may you be open and willing, courageous and extravagant in your response to God's dream. God's call to build beloved community here and around the world. May you go from this place out into the community around you and minister as children of light. Minister selflessly to this community and to the ends of the earth. For God has put all things, the text says, under Christ's feet and has made Christ the head of all things for the church which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Be the fullness of Christ outside of this beautiful building. so that all may know of Christ's love. The beloved community is you. Only you. It starts with you. You. And you. And you. And even you, honey. Especially you, honey. The beloved community is you. Build God's beloved community. With every prayer, with every selfless act, with every moment of service, with every relationship you heal and nurture and grow. And I pray for you. Wisdom and courage and eyes that see that you are a special people. You are a special people with a unique opportunity to continue to be builders. Amen.